I've got a lot of paintings in the corner of the living room behind the screen. I'll put on the light.
Oh, here you are, my dear.
Now, you promised to tell me exactly what you think of them, one artist to another.
I'll do my best, ma'am.
Oh, there's the light. Thanks, Harry.
Terrible. Oh, this is terrible.
Why, George.
Look what you've done.
I knew they weren't very good. But...
Such a pity. Just thrown down, not washed out at all.
Well, what are you looking at, George? Well, here are my paintings. Don't bother about those old brushes.
Well, that's it.
What?
Those brushes are old. They shouldn't be. You didn't take care of them.
Why, I didn't...
Every time you use them, you should wash them out. Now, your paintings. They're good, very good. But look...
What?
Those leaves. They're flat and they shouldn't be.
You better take lessons, my dear, huh?
George, I'll make a bargain with you. You give me painting lessons, I'll give you singing lessons.
Would you?
You would?
Of course. But...
Fine. It's a bargain. Every night after work, you come here. One night we sing and I teach... Next night, we paint.
And I teach.
Well, that sounds fair enough.
Stories of Great Christians. From the Department of Broadcasting of the Moody Bible Institute, we are bringing you Chapter 10 of God's Ebony Scientist, the story of George Washington Carver. Winterset, Iowa, wasn't exactly the ideal town to settle down in, was it, Professor Carver?
Not unless you like grasshopper plagues. Owner of the local hotel told me I was crazy to want to live in Winterset, but the climate seemed mild enough for growing things, so I convinced him to hire me.
To cook?
To cook corned beef and sauerbraten at Schultz Hotel. That's right.
What happened your first Sunday in Winterset?
Well, I embarrassed myself. In church, I sang out loud and strong when only the choir was singing.
The director of the choir noticed you, I imagine.
Oh, she did. And to my surprise, asked me over to her house that very week. She played the piano and I sang.
What was the strangest thing about that evening with the Milhollands?
Well, I told them about what had happened to me at Harding University. And you know... After I put it into words, I felt like a robin that just learned to fly. My heart was light again, first time in 2 years.
Then Mrs. Milholland made a bargain with you.
Yes. I was to teach her how to paint and how to tend her garden after work at Schultz Hotel. She'd teach me how to sing. Pretty soon, well, the Milhollands were treating me like one of the family.
George, your expression is good. As my voice professor in Paris used to say, the heart in you is in the words.
Thanks, Mrs. Milholland.
But we have to work on tone. Your tone is shaky. Oh,
maybe I'll never get it.
Oh, nonsense. Now, let's try it over. From the beginning, without the piano this time.
Mrs. Milholland, the pink is better. Your roses almost look alive.
Oh, you're encouraging, George.
Oh, but those leaves. Mrs. Milholland, have you ever looked at a leaf?
Why, yes.
Not really looked. Watch. A leaf goes up here, is shaded here, and...
Now, look here, George... We've been treating you like one of the family. Now, so take my advice.
But Mr. Milholland, Mr. Schultz is good to me.
Well, sure he's good to you, George. You're the hardest worker he ever hired. Now, listen, George, I want to lend you this money.
Oh, I can't take it.
You'll never get anywhere stuck in that kitchen with the sauerbraten.
But
$50? You'll need every penny of it if you want to start your own laundry. Now, take it, George. I insist.
Merry Christmas, George.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Awfully nice of you to invite me over.
Oh, nonsense. Nice of you to come. Go see what's under the tree.
Merry Christmas, George. George? George?
Out here, Mrs. Milholland. I'm fixing the violets.
Well, forget the violets. I'll survive one evening without you. Come up here, George.
I hate to let little things go lonely. They count on seeing me almost every evening. Oh, excuse me. I didn't know you had company.
George, this is my nephew, Dan Brown.
George Washington Carver. Glad to meet you. Musician, artist, gardener, cook. That's what I've been hearing about you. Let me shake hands with such a big man.
How do you do, sir?
Yes, sir, Carver. I've heard a lot about you. All good.
Dan has some good news, George.
You aren't moving away, are you?
Tell him, Dan.
Carver, I understand you aren't satisfied with this grasshopper-eating burg called Winterset.
I
even heard you don't plan to give your life washing up Winterset's dirty shirts.
Don't tease, Dan.
Put it this way. Carver, though you may not be able to guess this, I'm a scholar.
Dan!
Modify that. I'm a student.
Dan goes to Simpson College, George, and...
You got my admiration, sir, before you say any more. So you go to college, do you?
Listen, I'll have your undying gratitude before I'm through. You're going to college, too.
George, don't be angry at me. I told Dan everything.
Almost went up to Highland and pushed that Prexy's nose right through his office door. But I came up with something more practical.
Dan, tell him.
Well, Carver, Simpson, live and die for Simpson, is a Methodist school at Indianola, Iowa. You're going there.
What?
Yes, Carver, it's all settled.
Would they take me?
Listen, Carver, old Bishop Matthew Simpson, and when you speak his name on the campus, you bow to the east three times. He was an abolitionist, pal of Lincoln's, too.
It's his college?
When the old bishop died, he left his fortune to build this tower of learning.
George, Dan says he'll write for you himself.
Look, Mr. Brown, I have to know this. At Simpson, are there any colored...
Well, no, not now.
Then it won't work. They won't want me.
Listen, old Bishop Simpson would turn over in his grave if they turned down a Negro.
Rise up and haunt would be better,
you
I
see,
think.
They wouldn't dare.
Things just don't happen like this. One minute I'm tending violets, and then...
There's a good art department.
Wouldn't be caught dead in it myself. I'll stick to the lab.
George, you can major in art or music.
Or he can decide for himself. Seems to me Carver's best of all when he's growing things. He might be able...
Wait a minute.
No, Dan, I think art or music...
Listen, Auntie, I'm a college man... And
Mrs. Milholland, Mr. Brown,
okay,
please listen to me. Listen, all this is great, and you're wonderful to me, but don't you see... It won't work.
Sure it will. I know Simpson's trustees personally. They'll be...
Oh, I'm thinking about the tuition.
Tuition? Don't worry about that. This isn't Harvard. Tuition isn't so high. Fella like you not scared of work can pick up a job.
Sure. If I once got started, I could work enough. I figured it all out for Highland. But it's different now.
Well, how, George?
I got debts to pay before I even break even.
Debts?
George Carver... You know you borrowed that money from my husband. He
borrowed it legal, too.
Well, of course you did. But I know Harry. He'd never...
In the town's eyes, I owe it, no matter what Mr. Milholland would say.
The fella's right, Auntie.
A colored man doesn't walk out of town with debts, unless he wants to get lynched.
Oh, George, I never thought of that. Oh, dear, I thought we had things all settled for you.
George, I feel worse than you do about this.
Forget it, Mr. Milholland. There's nothing you can do.
Well, first I thought there was. Now, I had every intention of canceling the debt right off. or given you the money to pay.
I borrowed the money from you legal.
And the town will make you pay it back legal. If I'd only left you at Schultz's hotel.
Don't worry about it, Mr. Milholland. Guess the Lord must have a reason for dangling college in front of my nose and then jerking it away.
But, George, you got to September to pay it off, and this is only July.
You see me working, don't you? I'm washing as fast as they bring the clothes to me.
And keep it up, George. Maybe by September, you might have
a... man can't wash same clothes twice and get paid twice. Truth is, Mr. Milholland, just so many dirty clothes in Winterset. That means just so much money.
I feel so helpless, George. I want to say call on me, and my hands are tied.
Don't fret. I've already called on somebody for help.
Well, good. Who, George?
The Lord. His hands are never tied.
Hey, mister!
Yes, Sonny?
Turn around, mister, and grab this bundle of clothes.
All that?
You don't know us. We just moved to Winterset. Mister, there's a lot of us kids. Here's my uncle. He's new, too.
Here, let me give you a hand with these clothes, sir.
My uncle's got more kids than my dad has. Hope you got a lot of soap here, mister.
10, 20, 30.
Praise the Lord, George.
40, 50, 50. It's all there. I'm debt free, Mr. Milholland. September 1, and I'm debt free.
Praise the Lord.
Take another piece of pie, George. You won't eat my apple pie much longer.
I'll miss it, Mrs. Milholland. I'll miss everything here.
Well, bad enough to stay, George, to stay on and tend our garden?
Harry.
Not bad enough to do anything foolish, Mr. Milholland.
Oh, that's the spirit. Say, when's your application go in the mail? Ooh, I wish I'd mailed it before, George. I know you waited to see about the debt, but...
But a fella can be too cautious, George.
Oh, I'm not worried. I don't plan to send in my application.
You what?
Well, what do you mean, young man?
You've changed your mind? I mean, not after...
Oh, no, no, no. I'm just afraid of application blanks, I guess.
Whatever do you mean?
You won't get far that way, boy.
After Highland, I...
Oh.
Young man... You have to fill out something.
Oh, don't you see? The college has to know you want to come, George.
Well, the college will know. I'll tell them in person.
What?
Oh, now, look here.
Please listen. From an application blank, what does the college tell?
All the important things. Your age, your financial situation, your...
An application blank is white. Just a white piece of paper. I'm black. This time... I'm taking no chances. I don't want to be disappointed again.
But the standard way, that gets best results.
I want to walk right into Simpson College and say, will you take me? And the president will look up at me and he'll answer one way or the other.
But, George, you don't walk into a college that
way. Black people don't generally walk into a college at all. I know what I'm doing. The answer to whether I'm mailing an application blank tomorrow is no. I'm going to Simpson myself tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
That is, I'm leaving tomorrow.
Well, you got a ride lined up, George?
No, sir.
Well, then how you...
By foot.
Oh, but Simpson is 40 miles.
What's 40 miles? That's the easy part. I've traveled a lot farther than that for an education, Mrs. Milholland.
Well, I don't know, George. I don't know at all.
And so we conclude Chapter 10 of God's Ebony Scientist, the story of George Washington Carver. Stories of Great Christians is produced by the Department of Broadcasting of the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago.